good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. For today, I have a subject entitled The Second Coming of Christ. This is one which is sometimes quite controversial, and we need to know what the Bible teaches concerning this great truth which affects all the world. This is one of the most serious lines of thought in connection with the study of the Scriptures. It challenges the present and wrestles with the future. For that which is certain to happen, the second coming, we need to know what are the signs pointing to this. Then listen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Matthew 24:3. The disciples were only human, and they were interested in these important events just as other anxious men have been for generations past. They wanted to know when the end was coming, and when it does come, what will happen. Humanity is still the same today. They would like to know the answers to these important questions, and because we're all involved, we have a right to know as far as the Bible teaches. But beware, let us not go beyond what the Scriptures teach and build upon imagination and fantasy. This is the great tragedy of our day. Much is being taught which is not scriptural. Listen to the words of Jesus. Take heed that no man deceive you. As in their day, so it is in ours. We live in the age of deception. The enemy of our souls stalks about to deceive the very elect if possible. He does this to mislead, to frustrate, to delude, and lead away from the truth. Jesus warned his disciples of this condition. Not only does the devil deceive, but men do the same through the power of Satan. How? By fair speeches, by false doctrines, through human creeds, by erroneous modern theories, by crooked opinions, educated philosophy, and sometimes this is done through a pleasing personality. These are ways and means of man-made deception, and the Lord warned us of this danger. Let us enumerate some of the signs of our times, which Jesus pointed out in this 24th chapter of Matthew 1. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do you see any fulfillment there? 2. Nation shall rise against nation. This is a far cry from peace, isn't it? 3. Kingdom against kingdom. Where does this leave individual rights? 4. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. These are only reminders to awaken the sin-sick and slumbering souls who are bent on pleasures of the world and personal gratification of their selfish lusts. 5. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. 6. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Surely, the news headlines of today tell us these things are taking place both between individuals as well as between nations. 7. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. How tragic and yet so true. 8. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. 9. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This, of course, is but a brief outline of some of the signs of the times. However, the Bible is full of them, and they are happening just as Christ said they would. There are many things we'd like to know which has not been revealed in the Bible. God's great book was not inspired merely to satisfy our imagination or curiosity. Instead, it is a divine revelation of the eternal truth and God's plan of redemption for mankind, and the principal information which we should know is given. let us be satisfied therewith, and say as Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are many things God knows that are in His care and keeping. The day and hour of the coming of Christ is known only to the Father and will be revealed in its time. Men without God may predict and make guesses of the future. They're subject to error, but the Scriptures never fail. The prophecies of the Bible are always fulfilled in the events of history. The Bible students of the ages have learned of certain definite signs of the times that will precede the second coming of Christ. But let me make it clear that the set date of His arrival is not marked on the calendars of men. And if it is, it's wrong. And no man knows the exact time, the day, neither the hour. That He has not revealed to men. Some folks have been very excited in making public a certain time, declaring the end to come on a given date. But all attempts to fix dates are absolutely unscriptural. Such Bible juggling, date-setting proposition, in seeking to map the future is contrary to the Word of God. Yet it is one of the signs of the times, as Jesus spoke of men of this type coming in the last days. They are false prophets. The thing to do, best of all, is be ready at all times. In fact, stay ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Folks these days have many questions, some of which are confusing, and, may I add, many people are confused as to the facts relative to the coming of the Lord. Consider some of these questions. 1. How is He coming? 2. When will it be? 3. What will happen when He comes? 4. Will it be literal or spiritual, or will it be secret or for everyone to know? 5. Will He set up His kingdom then? 6. What will happen to the wicked? 7. Are there to be 2 resurrections, one for the saved and the second for the wicked? 8. Will there be a millennium in the future? 9. If so, when? 10. If not, why? Friends, we won't have time to cover all of these questions in this one broadcast, but I hope to deal with some of them on later broadcasts. But there is one very definite fact I would like to impress upon you. This fact cannot be ignored. Jesus Himself declared to His disciples, "I will come again." John 14:3. There are many honest people who believe and teach that there are 2 distinct comings of Christ yet in the future. We hear it by radio and read of it through the literature. The idea seems to have developed from the teaching that Christ will come and receive His bride, the church, when the saints will be caught up to meet Him in the air and to accompany Him to heaven above, and that later He will come with His saints. Such scriptures as Jude 14:15 might give this impression at first. I quote, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Here it speaks of coming with His saints. The same is 1 Thessalonians 3:13, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And so the conclusion might be erroneously drawn that Christ will come first for His saints and then at a later time with His saints. Let us look more closely at the scriptures, which will remove this theory and show it to be untrue. Paul explains it fully in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This scripture is a direct answer. It is clear that the saints who will accompany the Lord on his return trip are the innumerable hosts who have died from the time of Adam to this present day, or the day of the coming of the Lord. This includes the patriarchs of old and the saints of all ages whose bodies are slumbering in earth and sea. He said, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Of course, we know he speaks of the spirits of those who are his saints, who have been resting in the paradise of God, and they will accompany him. The great and final resurrection will then take place, and those spirits will be reunited with their bodies and be raised immortal and glorified. And then all will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and receive their reward and enter heaven forever and ever. This will take place when the Lord comes again the second time. He came first as a babe in Bethlehem, as a Savior for the world. The next time he comes for his church and to reward all accordingly. Listen to Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The text clearly teaches two advents, but not a third. His second coming, yet future, is his last and only appearance in this world. Now, friends, I hope this is not too alarming to you, but may you take it and search the scriptures to see if these things are true. And if you have learned and been taught things which are contrary to the scriptures, let us lay them down and be honest enough to accept the truth. But more on this at another time. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of bringing thy word to the listeners of the broadcast. We pray that we may understand as fully as possible the truths of the second coming of the Lord, and above all, that we may be ready to meet him at his appearing. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, and we pray that you bless every listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. We hope you'll be listening for future broadcasts, and if we may be some spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. And so until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.